Father God, we thank you, we praise you, we magnify your name. We thank you, Father, for everything that you're doing in our lives today. We thank you, Father, for each and every person that's here tonight, and we thank you have a plan and a purpose for them, and they will fulfill that plan and that purpose. Father God, we thank you that tonight as we go to study your word, we thank you, Father, that your word will not return void, but Father God, that that word will penetrate the hearts and the lives of each and every one of us and help us to be doers of the word, not just hearers only. But Father God, we thank you that we'll take that word that brings forth life on the inside of us, and we'll go out and share the love of Jesus Christ with a lost and dying and hurting world. We thank you, Father, for revival to this nation. We thank you, Father, for revival to this generation. We thank you, Father, for signs, wonders, miracles, and healings taking place. But Father God, we thank you today as we go to minister. We thank you. We come not in our own strength, not in our own power, not in our own might, but your strength, your power, your might, and your ability that you be lifted up. And we thank you, Father, for the Holy Spirit that lives big on the inside of us, that leads us and guides us and shows us the way and gives us utterance to speak with all boldness the uncompromising gospel of Jesus Christ. And Father God, we thank you for your anointing. Your anointing is always present. Your anointing that's always there. Your anointing that changes things in an instant. Your anointing that saturates us. Your anointing that sets us free. And we thank you that anointing is present tonight. And we thank you, Father, for everything that you have done and everything you are doing, both here and around the world. And we give you the praise, honor, and glory. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen. All right. Praise God. Well, you may be seated. Amen. About 3 weeks ago, my last message we preached here, I was preached on the fiery furnace. Anyone remember that? And I said a few things that I've actually never really seen before as I studied the story a lot, that in the fiery furnace, when Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego went in, the only thing that burned up were the ropes that bound them. The things that bound them were what burned up. You know, and the interesting part about the whole fiery furnace story, and I've thought about this many, many times, you know, whenever we're facing things in life, a lot of times that we're trying to pray and believe God that we won't have to go through a fiery furnace. We're hoping to pray and believe God, you know, we're going to get out before we get in the fiery furnace. But really, if it wasn't for the fiery furnace, there wouldn't be a testimony to be able to tell. And so sometimes, see, we're so concerned about the furnace, but we should be so enthralled with our God that it doesn't matter. Even if we go through the furnace, we're not going to get burned. You know, because our faith and our trust is in God. And you know, they told the king, you know, we're not going to serve your gods. And, you know, our God will deliver us. But even if he doesn't deliver us, it doesn't matter. We're still not going to serve your God. You know, and of course, obviously the story, the king turned it up 7 times hotter. And when he did, he killed, he also got his best guards to throw him in the fiery furnace. And the fire was so hot, it killed them when they were throwing him in. And they threw those 3 guys in, you know, on the ground. And then a few minutes later, they were walking around free. And then, of course, the king saw the wrecks, four men. And he said, you know, the fourth one looks like the Son of God. He was standing with them. But you know what? If it wasn't for the fire, there wouldn't have been a testimony. And so sometimes, you know, whenever you feel you're going through the fire, remember, if it wasn't for the fire, there wouldn't be a testimony. You know, if there was no test, there would be no testimony. And so I want to kind of continue on here in Daniel, and I'm actually reading from Daniel chapter 6, and this is a story about Daniel in the lion's den. You know, and sometimes that we think that because we do something wrong, we end up in a bad place, like a lion's den, maybe not a literal lion's den, but you know. But you know, Daniel, all he did was something right. And in fact, if you read about this, I've just kind of been going back here the last few, well, you know, just a little bit and going back and reading from the New Living Translation and kind of seeing some of these stories again that I didn't see before. And this is Daniel chapter 6 in the New Living. It's Darius is now the king there, and they're once again in Babylon and in exile. And verse number 3, it says, Daniel soon proved himself more capable than all the other administrators and high officers. Because of Daniel's great ability, the king made plans to place him over the entire empire. I mean, think about that. I mean, God was with him and helped him and gave him wisdom. And because of that, the king was making plans to place him over the entire kingdom, to be like his right-hand man. But you know, the thing about it is whenever you have somebody that's highly favored, you also have people that are highly against them. You know, and that's what happens a lot of times. You know, as we go through life and as we are enjoying the benefits of the things that God gives us, all of a sudden we have people that come against us. You know, and we all understand because we've heard me preach before, one of the biggest influences, the devil himself. In John 10:10, the thief comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. But the thief will use other people to kill and steal and destroy from you. So, you know, verse number 7 says, then the other administrators, the other guys, and high officers begin searching for some fault in the way Daniel was handling the government affairs. But they couldn't find any to criticize or condemn. You know, because he was doing everything right. So here's a man doing everything right. That they can't find any fault because, you know, he's doing things right. It says he was faithful, always responsible, and completely trustworthy. I mean, kind of person that everybody wants. I mean, this is the right guy to rule the kingdom. Unfortunately, some of our government officials are not always faithful, responsible, and completely trustworthy. But praise God anyway. We need to pray for them. All right. And so they concluded our only chance of finding grounds for accusing Daniel will be in connection with the rules of his religion. So, you know, when they can't come against somebody else, they had to come against his religion. So the administrators and high officers went to the king and said, long live King Darius. We are all in agreement, we administrators, officials, high officers, advisors, and governors, that the king should make a law that will be strictly enforced. Give orders for the next 30 days that any person who prays to anyone, divine or human, except to you, your majesty, will be thrown into the den of lions. So they're like, you know what? Let's just for the next 30 days, let's worship you, king. And if anyone doesn't do that, let's throw them in the lion's den. You know, and you understand, people love themselves, especially kings. I mean, you know, with people that seem to be rulers, they seem to really love themselves, and they like images of themselves, and they want to see themselves on a postage stamp or whatever, you know. And so they're kind of thinking, you know, that's pretty cool. I mean, everyone's going to, like, praise me, you know. And so that's pretty awesome. And, you know, he wasn't in this situation thinking about Daniel and other people. He was thinking about himself. He was selfish. And because, you know, and, you know, understand, I'm sure that there was some undue influence. They probably said more of these things, you know, king, you need to be praised and you need, you know, for, so it's only 30 days. And for the next 30 days, we're just going to praise you. All right. And so, anyway, verse number 8, it says, and now your majesty issue and sign this law so it cannot be changed. An official law of the Medes and Persians that cannot be revoked. So King Darius signed the law. But when Daniel learned that the law had been signed, he went home and knelt down as usual in his upstairs room with his windows open toward Jerusalem. He prayed 3 times a day, just as he had always done, giving thanks to God. Because, you know, obviously Daniel understands the Ten Commandments. He understands that we're only going to worship the Lord our God. I mean, he wasn't going to change just because, I mean, he wasn't doing anything wrong. He just wanted to worship God. I mean, he thought King Darius was a nice guy, but, you know, I'm not going to pray to King Darius. What's he going to do for me anyway? Anyway, so, you know, it says, then the officials went together to Daniel's house because, they, you know, this is one of these laws. They knew that he was going to break it. I mean, you know, this is a guy of, you know, he loves his God. And so he is definitely going to break that law. So they went to his house and found him praying and asking for God's help. And so they went straightway to the king, bunch of tattletales, and reminded him about his law. See, now it's his law. Before, see, it was their law that he was trying to get. Now it's his law. So didn't you do this law, king? You know, anyway, it says, did you not sign a law that for the next 30 days, any person who prays anyone, divine or human, except to you, your majesty, will be thrown into the den of lions? Yes, the king replies, that decision stands. It's an official law of the Medes and Persians that cannot be revoked. Then they told the king, that man, Daniel, it's that man, Daniel, you know, not your humble servant, not the one that's going to be ruler over the kingdom. It's that man. All right. One of the captives. See, they want to put in the captives part. You know, he's a captive from Judah, is ignoring you and your law. He still prays to his God 3 times a day. Well, hearing this, the king was deeply troubled. And he tried to think of a way to save Daniel. See, you know, he didn't think about Daniel because he was thinking about himself earlier and he passed this stupid law, you know. And so he spent the rest of the day looking for a way to get Daniel out of this predicament. So, you know, the king really, I mean, if he would have thought about it ahead of time, he would have never passed the law. You know, but the thing about it is, it doesn't matter. You can be doing everything right. There will people be against you. They'll talk against you. And see, we live in a day of social media. And because of social media, one person begins to talk and other people pick that up and they share it and they talk. And before you know it, it seems that everybody's against you. You know, but if God be for you, then who cares who's against you? Isn't that in the New Testament? But see, a lot of times what happens is when people come against us, we get all worried. Well, what are we going to do? Well, trust God. Yeah, but all these people are talking bad things. You know, and in this situation, Daniel's going to be thrown in the lion's den. Now, what's interesting to me is Daniel never worried about it. It goes on to say, it says, in the evening, the men went together to the king and said, Your Majesty, you know that according to the law of the Medes and the Persians, no law that the king signs can be changed. So basically he's saying, you know what? You can't even change your own law, king. I mean, that's a stupid law. I mean, you know, we're talking about a dictatorship here. We're not talking about a democracy. So, you know, why can you make a law and not change it? You know, because people in the world change their mind. But anyway, for whatever reason, I guess he could not change it. So at last, the king gave orders for Daniel to be arrested and thrown into the den. The king said to him, to Daniel, he says, May your God, whom you serve so faithfully, rescue you. And, you know, so then they put a stone and they sealed it for the night. You know, it says, actually, verse number 18 says, And the king returned to his palace and spent the night fasting. I don't know if he was fasting and praying. I don't know what he was doing because, you know, it would be illegal to pray to anybody except himself. So I guess that means, so maybe he wasn't praying because if he'd be praying, if he didn't pray for him to himself, you know, which what good would that be? I mean, how can you pray for to yourself? Because you can't even change the laws anyway. So you're a powerless king anyway. It says he refused his usual entertainment and couldn't sleep all night. Very early the next morning, so, you know, probably the crack of dawn, you know, he wanted to be there, you know, so, you know, the early bird gets the worm, so he wanted to get the worm, I guess. So he got there early the next morning. The king got up and hurried to the lion's den. When he got there, he called out in anguish, Daniel, servant of the living God, was your God, whom you serve so faithfully, able to rescue you from the lions? Daniel answered, Long live the king. My God sent his angel to shut the lion's mouth so that they would not hurt me, for I have been found innocent in his sight, and I have not wronged you, your majesty. The king was overjoyed and ordered that Daniel be lifted from the den. Not a scratch was found on him, for he had trusted in his God. You know, even when you go into the lion's den, you know, understand that it might seem that everything's against you. It might seem that it's an impossible situation. But you know what? If you trust in your God, you know, he will close the mouth of the lions. He will close, you know, the adversaries. I mean, he'll change people's minds that you think that there's no way you can change their mind. You know, because, I mean, literally, you're probably not going to be thrown into a real lion's den. But, you know, there'll be times in our lives where we feel like we're in a lion's den. We feel like everybody's against us. We feel like that everybody's out to, you know, to tear us down, to eat us up. And, you know, but you know what? That's when you have to trust in your God. Just like they did in the fiery furnace. You know what? Because even if we don't see the fourth man, he's always with us. Jesus said he will never leave us nor forsake us. And see, what happens a lot of times, because we can't see him, we don't know him. But we need to understand that he is with us. We don't have to see him. We don't have to have an angel appear before us to know that God is with us. All we have to do is know he's with us. We know that if God be for us, who cares who's against us? We understand that God is always for us. He's always with us. And like I said, he'll never leave us nor forsake us. He's always there. And if he's always there, why do we get so upset sometimes? Well, why do we get to points we're like, I don't know what to do. Well, what do you mean you don't know what to do? Jesus is with you. Yeah, but I don't feel him. See, what happens sometimes, you know, I think because we go to church services and have one of those times where we feel something. You know, we've all been there where we just felt it. And so now when we don't feel it, we don't think he's really there. But Jesus didn't say, I'm only there when you feel it. I mean, I never read my Bible where it says, I'm only there if you don't feel I'm there, then I'm not there. No, he's always there whether you feel it or not. The Bible does say we're not moved by what we feel. But we have to be moved by what we know. What do we know? I mean, what do we know? We know the greater one is with us, even in the lion's den. Now, you know, if we all decided today to go take a trip to Oklahoma City Zoo, I don't think any of us would dare go to the, you know, inside the lion's quarters, you know, because it wouldn't be smart. You know, and that's the thing about it is, don't go walking into your own lion's den. I mean, you know, you got to be smart. But if you get thrown into one, understand that God is still with you. You know, and I realize probably none of us here will ever be thrown into a literal lion's den. But if you were, it doesn't matter. I mean, think about, you know, I mean, we all are kind of afraid of lions, but remember David? You know, before he fought Goliath, remember the lion came? And he whipped him with a rod. You know, and the bear came. I mean, you know, and he used the same tools that he used against Goliath, his rod and some stones. I mean, you know, think about that. I mean, you know, you might be okay if you have a shotgun, you know, make you feel a little better. But you know what? It doesn't matter if you only have a rod, because you have God. You know, and so sometimes what we have to do, we have to watch how we think, because I've seen so many people, you know, whenever they get in a situation where they feel everything is coming against them, immediately they forget that God is with them. You know, and I get it. We live in a real world, and you know, we're used to things that we see, but you know what? What we don't see is more powerful than what we see. The greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. And maybe all you see is lions, and maybe all you see is bad things coming at you. You know, but it's not about where you're at. You know, I mean, he might have been in a lion's den, but see, the angel shut the lion's mouth. Well, I mean, you know, I've actually prayed this exact prayer when I was in a situation where a lot of people were just talking about a lot of stuff. You know, just, you know, I said, you know what? I just prayed that God would shut their mouth based upon this scripture. I don't know if it's scriptural or not, but you know what? It worked. It worked. Because, you know, people just, you know, and I don't know. I mean, you know, the world we live in, I think people just like to stir the pot. People like to just, you know, stir up gossip and rumors. And I mean, they don't realize who it might hurt or who it might not hurt. I mean, you know, I understand in this situation here, Daniel was the best man for the job. He was the best man for the job. I mean, you know, he was faithful. He was there, the best person for the job. But you know, unfortunately, it was not about what was best for the country. It was what was best for them. You know, and that will happen sometimes even on your job. You might be the best one for the job, but people come against you. You know, and it's really hard to work in a place where everyone comes coming against you. But you know what? If God be for you, what does it matter who's against you? But we have to have our thought pattern has to change. When Daniel went in the lion's den, I mean, it doesn't sound like he was afraid at all. You know, sometimes we need to understand if God's with us, why should we be afraid? I mean, I would be more afraid if I knew God wasn't with me. You know, but, you know, whom do I have to fear when the greater one dwells with me? Now, I'm assuming, since this is Daniel chapter 6, and Daniel chapter 3 was the fiery furnace, that Daniel probably called back to remembrance what happened with his buddies Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And said, you know what, God, if you save them out of a fiery furnace, then you can save me out of a lion's den. You know, but what happens is we need to take these stories that we hear, you know, about the fire furnace, about the lions, and about the situations that we're in, that they were in, and think about, you know what, if God saved them, he's no respecter of persons. So he's going to save me from my situation. You know, he, whatever it might be. And like I said, you're probably not in the literal lion's den, but sometimes we feel like it. I mean, you know, you feel like everyone's coming against you. I mean, that's one reason some people want to come to church, because we're not coming against you. We're like, man, it's so good to come to a place where no one's coming against me. And then afterwards, you get back in the real world. You know, but, you know, understand, like I said, the devil is coming against you. And I personally believe, I mean, you know, we are running out of time. You know, the time is getting shorter. I mean, so I think that the devil is turning up his attack. Kind of like the fiery furnace turned up seven times hotter. And, you know, and as we look at over the landscape, I mean, we see the devil attacking left and right. But you understand, it's not about who the devil is, it's about who your God is. And a lot of times, though, you know, because we see these evil things coming against us, we're thinking, well, what am I going to do? Well, what you're going to do is you're going to trust in God, trust in the Lord. Trust the Lord with all your heart and lean not to your own understanding. I mean, it's pretty simple. But, you know, some people said, well, you know, maybe the lions weren't that hungry. You know, sometimes, I mean, you know, maybe what King Darius did was he fed him a big steak dinner before he threw Daniel in there. He just kind of stuck some steak in there, so they weren't that hungry. But that's not the case, because we read on. Now, understand, remember, not a scratch was found on David. Not a scratch. I mean, he didn't even get a scratch from a paw. I mean, I can't pet my cat sometimes without a scratch. I mean, I get these scratches all the time. I'm like, where'd that come from? You know, and well, it might actually be the cat. But some of my dogs, their toenails are stinking really long. Like we have one dog, and he likes to get petted a lot. And bigger dog, he's a Labrador Retriever mix. Really, it's a mutt, but looks kind of like a Labrador, a black lab. Well, kind of like a black lab, but has three or four other dogs in there. But you know. That my kids found on the side of the road something one day. Anyway, but this dog's a great dog, you know, and I walk some wants to, you know, come in and he'll, you know, especially in the summertime. I hate this in the summertime because every time, I don't know, his nails grow like crazy. And walk in the summertime, I have shorts on, he'll come and try to, and he'll like scratch me on the legs. And all of a sudden, next thing you know, I'm having like three or four scratches. I'm thinking, man, it looks like I've been in a dog fight or something like that. But he, you know, and understand lions, I mean, their claws are a whole lot more sharper. I mean, but he didn't have any claw marks. I mean, they didn't even try to get him. It wasn't like that they tried to get him and God protected him. They didn't even try. And you know, the thing about it is, if you really trust God, you won't get a scratch on you. Amen. You know, I mean, you know, sometimes the thing about it is, until we get all scratched up, that's when we start trusting God. We're like, we don't ever cry out to God until we get scratched up. Man, you need to start before him. See, David knew his God. That's why he wasn't going to pray to King Darius. He was going to continue to pray to his God, because he understood the power that his God possessed. He understood that his God could get him out of whatever situation he got himself into. But anyway, it says, verse 24, then the king gave orders to arrest the men who had maliciously accused Daniel. He had thrown them into the lion's den along with their wives and children. I mean, that's kind of sad. The lions leaped on them and tore them apart before they even hit the floor of the den. So before they even hit the floor, the lions killed them. So you can't tell me they weren't hungry. They were hungry. But just because they were hungry, they could not touch this anointed man. You know what? Once again, God is no respecter of persons. So if the lions couldn't touch Daniel, he can't touch you. The lions can only touch you if you let them touch you. See, you have the power, and it's really up to you. I mean, you have to understand, what do you believe? What do you believe? You can have what you say. You can have what you believe. Do you believe that God's able to deliver you without a scratch? Or do you think, well, you know, it might be a tough battle, but I'm going to get through this. You know, I believe that my God is able to deliver me without a scratch, just like he did Daniel, just like he did the three Hebrew children. Amen. You know, but that's what I said, trust God with all your heart. I mean, you know, my point, I don't know how many times, if God can't do it, I don't know who can. I don't know who can. King Darius sure can't. He can't even change his own laws. I mean, you know, my trust is always in God. And, you know, my keynote scripture, the one I live my life by, is Mark 11:22, have faith in God. That's the scripture that it's the only scripture I need. If my faith is in God, you know what? Nothing else matters. Nothing else matters. My faith is in my God. In God I trust. All the time. I want to read a few more scriptures kind of concerning the same thing. This is a scripture we usually read like at funerals and stuff. Psalms 23. And I'm going to read from the New Living Translation. Psalm 23, starting with verse 1. It says, the Lord is my shepherd, and I have all that I need. Now, sometimes we need to start believing the Bible. It says, you know what? If God be for me, I have all I need. Now you say, but I don't really have all I need. No, you have all you need because you can believe. You know how to believe. The Lord is your provider. He's your shepherd. He's taking care of you. So you understand, the shepherd means the person that takes care of. I mean, we're sheep. I mean, you know, understand, in the real world, I know that we're not like farmers and stuff. Maybe a few of you might be farmers, but most of us live in the city. All right? And so, but sheep, they're not real smart. I mean, they're not, you know, if they don't have someone taking care of them, they might get lost. You know, and that's what happens. Sometimes, some of us, we get lost sometimes. Some of us, you know, I don't mean we get lost sometimes, you know, not serving God. Some of us, we get lost because we don't remember how good our God really is. But you know what? We're the sheep. But see, God is, he's the one who rounds us up. He's the one that provides for us. And a lot of times we're trying to provide for ourselves, and we have to understand sheep don't provide. Sheep rely. So are you trying to provide or trying to rely? Because, you know, see, we have to rely on the Lord. Put our trust in him. Put our faith in him. You know, rely on him. Anyway, that wasn't really my scripture, but I wasn't really supposed to turn it, but it's still good anyway. He lets me rest in green meadows. He leads me beside peaceful streams. And for you OSU Cowboy fans, he says still water. Anyway. He renews my strength. That's something else. I mean, he renews my strength. So you got to understand, you know what? When we're weak, God makes us strong. And so many times we don't think about that. He does. He wants to renew your strength. He wants to help you through your situation. But you know what? He has to be your shepherd. Anyway, he guides me along the right path. You know what? He'll lead me and he'll guide me the way I need to go. You know, and even if it seems like it's scary, and we'll get to that right here, right past bringing honor to his name, even when I walk through the darkest valley, even when the King James says the valley of the shadow of death, even whenever things look dark, I'm not going to fear anything because my God is leading me through this path. You know, and so what? Sometimes through our path, we have fiery furnaces and lion's dens. Sometimes we have giants. You know what? But God has delivered people in the past from those situations, and he'll deliver us too. You know, sometimes we get upset. Well, I don't want to have a fiery furnace experience. You know, I don't want to have a lion's den experience. You know what? You just have to trust God. Amen. See, in spite of it looks like that everyone is you know, things are going bad, it's not but what it looks like. It's who is my trust in? And so even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will not be afraid, for you are close beside me. Understand that the Lord is always with us, even in the darkest days and the darkest times. Even when it seems like that everyone's against us. Even when it seems like we're not going to make it. You know what? We are going to make it because we know our God. And we trust our God. And we know he's right there with us. I mean, we're not walking through this valley by ourselves. And see, sometimes we forget that we're thinking, well, we're walking by ourselves. No, you're not. You're not by yourself singing the song. You know, I'm not going to say I'm not a singer, but, you know, the song All By Myself, you know. Yeah, we'll let Anthony sing, you know, All By Myself. You know, I'm going to tell a funny story. And I don't know if it's funny, but anyway, there's a guy that he was actually a Rhema student. And so back in the day, and some of you might, you know, we used to make, well, they made what they call mixtapes, and then when you start recording on CDs, people made mixed CDs. So they took a CD, and they recorded a bunch of different songs. I mean, bunch of different artists and whatever. And this guy, he's more into the hip-hop, rap type stuff. No, I didn't really like all that stuff. So he knew I didn't have any of his stuff in the... And so if he ever came to my car, he always bring his own CD, his mix CD. And so he didn't actually have a car, so he rode with me a lot. So he just started leaving his mix CD in my car. He says, why am I taking this back and forth? So, you know, a lot of times I never listened to the whole CD, but so one time I started going to the whole CD. Okay, so it's all rap, and, you know, you guys know what rap music is, and most probably don't like it. But anyway, so I get to the very last song of the mix CD. It was all by myself. I'm like, wait, it's all rap. And what is it, Linda Ronstadt that sings that song? I mean, you know, the song All By Myself. I mean, I'm like, you know, I thought this guy was cool, you know. And so, man, the next time he got in my car, I turned to that. I said, hey, I like your mix CD. I like this last song here you have on there. So he claims that somebody else made that mix CD for him and put that last one on there. There was a joke. I don't know. You know, it was just funny, you know. I think he was just, you know, one of his depressed moods one day. You know, maybe after you listen to rap, you feel all by yourself. I don't know. But anyway, the thing about you're not all by yourself. Jesus is right there with you. He's walking with you. You know, and when you feel that, when you sometimes you feel like you don't know he's there, he'll grab your hand. And if he has to, he'll pick you up and carry you. God's always with you, even when it feels like that there's no way. Anyway, it says, I will not be afraid, for you are close beside me. Your rod and your staff protect and comfort me. You prepare a feast for me in the presence of my enemies. You honor me by anointing my head with oil. My cup overflows with blessing. Surely goodness and unfailing love will pursue me all the days of my life, and I will live in the house of the Lord forever. You know what? God is always with us. Even when it feels like that, man, we're walking through a bad situation, a bad time. You know, and I'm here to tell you, I mean, I'm not, you know, a lot of times people try to tell you, well, it's all going to be okay. When people say it's all going to be okay, you think, well, I'm never going to have a bad time. You know what? There are many times that people went through situations that didn't look really like they were good situations. The Apostle Paul, the one that wrote the most of the New Testament, I mean, he was shipwrecked. He was jailed. He was left for dead. He was beaten. You know, I mean, a lot of bad things happened to him. But you know what? He penned these words, I finish my course with joy. He kept his joy in the middle of tragedies. Why did he keep his joy? Because he knew his God. And I tell you what, if you know your God, you're going to get through the fiery furnace. You're going to get through the lion's den. You're going to get through every situation. You're going to get to the valley, through the valley of the shadow of death. I mean, you know, you have to understand, I'm not camping in the valley of the shadow of death. I'm passing through it. Because there are going to be some times that it feels like, man, you know, everything's coming against me. And God, are you sure this is my path? Because, see, if I was God, I wouldn't lead me on this path. I would take the Willy Wonka path, you know, through the candies and the lilies and stuff. I mean, that's what, you know, and that's what we want. But you know what? God's saying, you know what? I'm with you no matter what path you take. I'm with you in the middle of your bad situations. I'm with you when everything seems to be falling apart. I'm always there. I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. If you trust in me, it'll always be okay. But we have to change our mindset. Quit looking at the fire. Quit looking at the lions. And start looking to your God. All right. I'm going to actually, this was not one of my scriptures, but it was the scripture of today for the Bible program that I use. And actually my sister sent it to me before. I didn't look at the Bible program. It was scripture for today, but she sent it to me. I'm like, that's good. I'm gonna use that tonight. It fits right in my sermon. She goes, well, it's the scripture of the day, and I thought it would be good. But Isaiah chapter 43, and I'm going to actually start with verse 1, just so we know who he's talking to. He says, but now, O Jacob, listen to the Lord who created you. O Israel, the one who formed you, says, do not be afraid, for I have ransomed you. I have called you by name. You are mine. When you go through deep waters, I will be with you. When you go through rivers of difficulties, you will not drown. When you walk through the fire of oppression, you will not be burned up. The flames will not consume you. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. You know, the thing about it is, man, if we feel that we're our heads, you know, can barely stay above water, we're not going to drown. If we feel like you know, there's fire all around us, we're not going to get burned up. Because we know who our God is. You know, and maybe you're not getting excited as I am, but this excites me. Because, you know, there's so many times that we face situations and you're like, I don't know what to do. I don't know what to do. And I know this is the biggest thing that the ministers face when you have a counseling session with people. We call it spiritual guidance because we're not licensed professional counselors. You know, they walk in their faith and they're like, Pastor, I don't know what to do. But see, you know, the thing is I always know what to do when I don't know what to do. What do? I just trust God. That's what you do. I mean, you know, people all the time, they're waiting for some you know, some word that's going to be life-changing. But that is life-changing. Trust God. Trust God. You know, one day I talked to a pastor. He just took over the church he was associate pastor. The pastor retired. When the pastor retired, you know, and he became associate pastor. Some people left the church because they were mad because they didn't want this guy to be associate pastor or whatever. The church kind of financially took a downturn. And, you know, and he was trying to figure out who's for him, who's against him. And, you know, he was going through a tough time. And he happened to come back. He was one of Raymer graduates. He came back in town. And I asked him. I said, well, how's things going with the church? Because I was actually there the day the pastor announced he was going to retire. I was preaching at their camp meeting. And, you know, and so they pulled me aside and they said, you know, last night the pastor announced he was going to retire. So some of the people in the church aren't real happy about it. And so if people don't seem as happy tonight when you preach, it's because of that, not because of you. I'm like, thank you. Anyway, so I said, you know, couldn't the pastor retire after the camp meeting? And, you know, then, but whatever. So, you know, we had a fine service anyway. But this guy was down. He was hurting. I mean, you know, financially the church was hurting, and he was thinking, you know, I know in his own mind, thinking, you know, this pastor had pastored this church for like 40 years. He's thinking, you know, the pastor had the church for 40 years, and I'm going to blow it up in two. You know, and he was telling me, you know, he was just being honest. I mean, he wasn't trying to, you know, I mean, he wasn't giving me any faith statements. He was telling me honestly what way it was, because he understood that, you know, that I'm there for him. And so I looked him in the eyes and, you know, simply made this statement. It will all be okay. Now, this wasn't thus saith the Lord, it's all going to be okay. This is Craig just saying, you know what, it's going to be okay. You know, tell him, you know, just trust God. Well, so I didn't know this until later on when actually I went and preached for him later on and he told the testimony. He says, he took the words that I said and he stood on them daily. I mean, stood on them daily. It's all going to be okay. Remember, we have what we say, right? It's all going to be okay. It's all going to be okay. He said daily he stood on that. And it wasn't a few months later. And just the pastor had done something or whatever, some kind of, and he made some kind of investments a long time ago and forgot about him, I guess, or whatever. And this guy called him and said, you know, you might want to do something with these investments. They're worth a lot of money. Turned out that they had enough money investment to pay the church off, money in the bank. That you know, he had to quit his, you know, he had to get another job, but they were allowed to, you know, he was able to come back to work and paid for him and his wife and a secretary, and plenty of extra money in the bank. Just a few months later, you know, it was a shadow of death time for a little bit, you know what? But after it was all said and done, they got money in the bank, you know, and it's interesting, when money's in the bank for the church, these people are pretty happy about it. And then the church members got more happy. And you know, and they're doing really good. And it was because of a few words, I said, it's going to be okay. It was, I mean, those weren't words like, thus saith the Lord. I wasn't trying to prophesy to the guy. I was just trying to quote the word. It's going to be okay. And so, you know what? In my own life, I've used those couple of words many times whenever I'm facing things and I'm like, you know what? I don't know what to do. And I remember that story. And I start saying, it's going to be okay. It's going to be okay. Why is it going to be okay? Because I know who my God is. I know that my God's not going to let me drown. I know my God's not going to let me burn up. You know, my God is with me at all times. At all times. And if God is for you, once again, who cares who's against you? It doesn't matter who's against you. It doesn't matter what devil in hell. It doesn't matter what person. It doesn't matter, you know, if someone's, you know, against you on the internet or on social media or in the media or whoever. It doesn't matter if you have fake news, real news. I don't care who's trying to come against you. It didn't matter. Just like it didn't matter when Goliath tried to come against, you know, David. Because he wasn't coming against David. He was coming against God. Because, you know, if you're a son or daughter of God, if you're a child of God, when they come against you, they're coming against God. And you have to understand, you will make it. You will get through. You'll get through as long as you trust in him. As long as you change your attitude and just say, you know, I'm not going to worry about it. God is with me. I'm going to trust in him. I'm going to put my complete trust in him. And the last scripture I want to read is once again in Isaiah chapter 54. And I've used this, I don't know how many times, Isaiah 54:17. It says this, but in the coming day, no weapon turned against you will succeed. You will silence every voice raised up to accuse you. These benefits are enjoyed by the servants of the Lord. Their vindication will come from me. I, the Lord, have spoken. You know, King James says this, no weapon formed against you shall prosper. Amen. Now, here's the thing. It does not say that you'll never have weapon formed against you. And that's where people mess up. People get upset because they're like, yeah, but I have all these weapons coming against me. You know, I've had times where I felt like the atom bomb was being dropped on top of my head. You know, and other people are sitting around with bazookas and things like that. I mean, you know, weapons will come. They will come against you because you know what? That's what the devil does, just like he did to Daniel. He tried to destroy Daniel. And Daniel didn't do anything. All he was doing is worshiping God. I mean, all he did was be a faithful servant, you know, and was being promoted by the king. He wasn't doing anything wrong. He was doing everything right. You know, and sometimes we think, but I wasn't doing anything wrong. Why am I being punished? Because the devil's mean. God doesn't punish you. The devil does. Why? Because he's afraid. Now, see, but he has no power. He has no authority if we know who we are in Christ Jesus. And the thing about it is, it says no weapon formed against us will prosper. And I don't know how many times people have said, well, this person's saying this, or that person's saying that. I don't care. They can say what they want to say. You know, and, you know, it's interesting. This scripture right here, I watched my grandfather many, many times. That people would say things against him. People would say, you know, he's preaching false doctrine. You know, and you would think what most of the time, what most people would do is try to come out with some statement, you know, to come against the weapons. I mean, because that's what we do. If you know, normally, you know, in the real world, if we're attacked, we come back with another attack. You know, and, you know, hopefully our attack's better than their attack or whatever. But see, the thing about it is, what God's saying is don't worry about the weapon being formed against you. If you'll just follow me, I'll take care of the weapons. I'll take care of the weapons. I want to read it from the King James Version. Says it this. It says, no weapon formed against thee shall prosper, and every tongue that shall rise against thee in judgment, thou shalt condemn. You don't have to condemn it. God's going to condemn it. Just let God. You know, he will take care of those situations. You know, just trust in the Lord. Trust in God. Have faith in God. You know, and so many times, you know, it you feel that you're going through a tough time. But God is always with you, even in the tough times. You know, I mean, it's Christmas time. You know, people are buying presents. People are buying, you know, and it never fails. I mean, okay, I'll just give you an instance of my house. Forget about your house. I'll give you an instance of my house. It's Christmas time. I mean, you know, just like everybody. I mean, you're trying to buy Christmas presents. And so what happens? And my stepdaughter totals the car. Well, so there's going to be some expenses there. Insurance might go up or whatever. Not only that, she needs a root canal. And so I got to pay $800 for a root canal because she's already used all her stinking insurance all this year, or other teeth problems. You know, but you know what? Who cares? God will provide. You know, that's what happens is it seems, you know, things are already tight and the devil tries to make them tighter. You know what? But God's always with us. God will provide. We don't have to provide. God's going to provide. You know, he's going to provide. And you know, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. You know, I mean, my own mind, I think, you know what? Mr. Devil, take all the swings you want. Because ultimately, you're going down. You know, no weapon formed against me shall prosper. It's not going to prosper. You're not going to stop me. You know, that's, you know, my dad has a motto in life. I cannot be defeated. And I will not quit. The only way that you're defeated is when you quit. Because as long as you don't quit, God will lead you through every situation. Every situation, every circumstance. It doesn't matter how bad it looks. It doesn't matter how bad it seems. I mean, I don't know how you can get worse than a fiery furnace turned up 7 times hotter. I mean, that's pretty hot. You know, I mean, especially think about this. Guys were killed when they were on the way in. I mean, you think that don't play with your mind? I mean, you put yourself in that situation. But I guarantee you, after they walked out, never one time for the rest of their life did they ever doubt that God could save them. You know, and that's what sometimes I see people and they go through a situation and God saves them, gets them out of a situation. The next thing they get in another similar situation and they forget that God saved them last time. See, but the thing is, I know that my God loves me as much as anybody else in this room or anybody else in this world. And if he loves me as much as those guys, you know what? I don't care if I'm in a 7 times hotter furnace. The only thing that's going to be burned up is the things that bind me. Because I'm going to be loosed. And it's not because of you know, what I've done. It's because who's with me? Who's protecting me? You know, because, and that's something else. Sometimes people say, well, I deserve this. No, you don't. I mean, maybe you do deserve it, but you know what? Jesus says, you're not going to get what you deserve. You're going to get my love, you know, my mercy, my forgiveness. You know, we serve a God of a second chance. You know, we serve a God of a third chance and a fourth chance and a fifth chance and a 70 times seven chance. Sometimes thank God because some of us need that. Hopefully not 70 times seven, but you know what? If you need it, if you got to go that far, he's still there for you. You know, but the devil tried to say, well, you know what? I mean, you messed up once, you messed up twice. You know baseball, right? 3 strikes and you're out. But God's not a baseball player. You know, and because see, a lot of times we use our own mind. Because, you know, they have that law, the 3-strike law, I guess, in California. But, you know, we use our own reasoning. And it's good to be smart, but it's also good to know your God. You know, I like being smart. I like reading. I like studying. Like I said, I'm a Googleologist. I mean, you would be amazed at some of the stuff I Google and trying to figure out about. It has nothing to do with my life, nothing to do with anything else. I just saw somebody, I saw some story on the news or some kind of thing or someone said something or then now because everyone knows how interested I am, they'll say, hey, Craig, do you know anything about? And I'm like, no, I don't. So I'll go home and, you know, all night long, I'll learn about whatever that I didn't know about. You know, it's interesting because, I mean, I like to learn. And it's good to learn, but sometimes it's also good to learn that your God is always with you. Even when things are tough, he'll never leave you. And we have all the scriptures. Most of you can probably quote a lot of the scriptures, but being able to quote a scripture doesn't help you in the middle of the fire. What helps you is to know who your God is. Amen. All right? And to trust in the Lord. God is with you at all times. When it's good, when it's bad, he's still with you. He'll never leave you. He'll never forsake you. You will come out okay. It will all be okay. So just trust in him and enjoy his goodness. Amen. Let's stand up and let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for each and every person here. We thank you, Father, that you'll help us remember this sermon when things are falling apart in our life, when it seems that we're facing our own fiery furnace, when it seems that we're facing our own lion's den. We thank you, Father, that they'll remember this service, and they'll remember, you know what, no matter how bad it looks, that my God is always with me. He's always there. He's leading me. He's guiding me. Even when it seems like it's a valley of the shadow of death, he's with me. He's holding my hand. He's getting me through it every single time. And Father, we just thank you for each and every person that's here. And we thank you, Father, for helping them understand how good their God is. We thank you, Father, for it. But Father God, we thank you if anyone is here that does not know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, that they will not leave this place without making him Lord and Savior of their life. With heads bowed and eyes closed, if you're here tonight and you say, Craig, I don't know Jesus Christ, my Lord and Savior. I've never accepted him, and I want you to tonight. Lift your hand. We want to pray with you. Or maybe you're here and you say, Craig, man, at one time I walked with the Father, but I've kind of turned my back and went away. And I want to come back home tonight. If that's you, lift your hand. We want to pray with you. If you're here tonight and never been saved, or you need to rededicate your life to God, lift your hand. We want to pray with you. Father God, I don't see any hands, but we thank you, Father, if anyone is here that does not know your son, Jesus Christ, that you'll send laborers across their path on a daily basis, and they will come to the kingdom. We thank you for it. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen. Well, before we go, does anyone need prayer for healing? And anybody that needs healing? Because, you know what? It's no fun to be sick. Amen. God wants you to be healed. So if anyone needs prayer, come down here. We want to minister God's healing power to you. That's one thing that the Lord checked me one time. He said, you know what, Craig, every time you minister, you need to give opportunity for people to be healed. Amen. Well, praise God. Everybody's healed. That's awesome. Don't forget, next Sunday, we're having our Candlelight Carols and Communion Sunday. It's always a wonderful time. And, you know, like I said, if you haven't been to one before, you need to come. You need to invite everybody. In fact, we used to have a really big crowd because it's a wonderful time. You know, we enjoy time as a family. Anything else, Craig, that we need to announce? Amen. Well, the way we dismiss around here is I'll be back at that door to shake your hand. Like I always tell you, there's a door over here. If you don't want to shake my hand, you can go out that door or whatever else. See you guys next Sunday. God bless you.